All right, it is time to bring in our man Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. All right, Dash, what are you doing eclipse time today? You got your glasses and everything?
I do not have my glasses, and I guess I'll just be kind of looking at the wind a little bit. But I'm not caught up in this. I guess a lot of people obviously are.
You know what today is for Dasher Day?
What is it? Monday. Today is Monday.
It's no practice day for media day for me today, so that's what's on out for me.
Oh, that's right. So Kirby's kind of putting an eclipse on viewing today for you guys, right?
That's what the schedule we got. They are practicing this afternoon at regular time, but no media viewing, no interviews afterwards. So I guess they're keeping it in the dark.
Yeah, really. Exactly. Well, maybe that's the joke there. So, was kind of asked. I know it was the funny response by Nick Saban over the weekend, but Kirby was asked about it also, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was asked about it last week. It was kind of, you can give a tongue-in-cheek answer to talk about how the wife and kids are really looking for it, and they've been talking about it a lot, but he's just focused on football, which obviously he should be.
Well, yeah, it's essentially the same as a bye week this week, so there's no game this week, but you got one next week, so it's on. So I know it's hard to glean a lot of stuff out of the scrimmage because you're going by just what other people are saying to you. But what were the overall thoughts of scrimmage number two this past Saturday?
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, and I hate to say what we see in second period because, I mean, we saw it about 5 or 6 minutes, and obviously doesn't give you a whole lot of time to look. And what we what we saw was. And we saw with the quarterback, we saw some down and distance type stuff as far as the throws go, but really wasn't a whole lot to see except who was lining up where. But, you know, Kirby did say in the post, scrimmage press conference, he was very pleased with both quarterbacks. Jacob Beeson and Jake Fromm, he said both had much better scrimmages than they did the first game. And we found out later that Jake Fromm actually got some, rest for the first unit. And no, this doesn't mean he's, there's a quarterback controversy or Jacob Beeson in danger of losing his job. I'm just told that and they want to see Jake get that opportunity just in case something happens to Jacob and goes down. They want to know that Jake Fromm will be able to step in the first group and be effective, which I think he's proven to coaches that he can.
Talking with Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. So, see, now you're just creating a firestorm here about the quarterback.
I am. I know. But this is cut and dry. Jacob, he's a starting quarterback. Kirby made that quite clear, and that's how it's going to roll going into the year.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Malcolm Parrish and his injury and what that means for everything in the defensive backfield, because it sounds like it's kind of got the same. It's not one person replacing him and everything else staying the same. It's almost like with Isaiah Wynn when he was out and all the shuffling that was going on.
And that's exactly what's going on with the secondary. You know, Coach Smart said that, he expects, Malcolm to be out for 2 to 4 weeks with a broken bone in his foot. But that's done has caused, like I said, a lot of shuffling. Aaron Davis has gone from a star spot to Malcolm's spot cornerback. Ricky LeCount is playing the safety, and J.R. Reed has gone to a star position to play right now, and Tyrick McGee has basically been that sixth defensive back. Can play corner, can play star, can play a couple of different positions. So it looks like how it's going to be, at least early on in the I definitely see Malcolm missing at least the first two ball games. Might get back for Sanford, but there's a good possibility he may not be back to the Mississippi State game after that. So, yes, made him to shuffle things around. But fortunately, they get Georgia has some depth, albeit young. There's a couple of freshmen he mentioned the other day too. Eric Stokes, Latavius Breeny, have kind of been bumped up in the depth chart a little bit. So they've got bodies. A lot of us young folks.
Dasher, Logan Booker here. Looking over the offensive line, it's starting to look more and more like true freshman Andrew Thomas could become the first freshman to start a season opener since John Theus in 2012. Is that something I'm reading that could be a possibility here?
No, man, that's a huge possibility right now. Andrew Thomas has been impressive as I'll get out from day one. I mean, Coach Mark mentions his maturity, and that's the biggest thing with him now. Now you see, he's more mature beyond his years. I don't think he's only 18 years old right now, but he's really coming done a great job. He showed Coach Marty he can play a couple of different positions. We know we've seen him at left guard. We've seen him now at right tackle. Coach Marty eventually pitched this guy's very being the left tackle for the team once I was there. Graduate. So he's a very talented player. He's definitely got the size, 6'5", 6'6", in that 320-pound range. Got great footwork. Got good hands. He's predicting, I think, to be a very, very good offensive lineman for Georgia for the next 4 years.
I mean, this is basically the beginning of what we're seeing here with this offensive line recruiting. Yeah, maybe a tad bit quicker than we thought, but this is what we're going to start seeing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And, you know, I'm going to have to mention Isaiah Wilson right now is running the second team at the left guard behind, Pat Allen. That's something I could, you know, maybe as the season goes on, maybe see him step into a starting role. And, of course, you still got Torrey Johnson and Justin Schaefer, who are currently on the third team, but don't let that being an indication that Coach was unhappy with or anything like that. It's just kind of where they're right now. And it was very complimentary to the job of both of those guys are doing. So Georgia, as we talked about before, did so very well with this most recent offensive line recruiting class, and all those guys are going to pay some big dividends.
Now, Kirby Smart post-scrimmage the other day, he said something I felt was kind of interesting, where a lot of people kind of look at the end of camp as where you kind of transition from working on yourself to starting to look at App State, but he said that he didn't want to burn his team out on 2 weeks of App State preparation. So what do you expect to happen this week going into what essentially is a bye week, and then next week being game week?
Yeah, I think this week you're still going to see a lot of fundamental work and a lot of just trying to get better as a football team. They won't really worry about Appalachian State till Sunday night, Monday. They may not even watch any kind of film on Appalachian State till they get to practice on Monday, which is what they normally do for any opponent during the week. So I could definitely see them waiting that long. And this week just to get better and make sure they've got all the positions lined up and everybody's ready to go.
Talk with Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. All right, Dash, another big verbal commitment over the weekend from Kyrus Jackson down in Fort Valley. Does this have some extra significance as far as a certain quarterback that Georgia's also recruiting?
Well, it doesn't hurt, I put it that way. You know, there was a talk, a few weeks now that that they would wind up going to school together. And I still think there's a very good chance of that happening. But Kyrus Jackson is a very good get for Georgia. I mean, I think this closes out the wide receiver recruiting there with him also getting Elijah Moore, last week. But it definitely helps when it comes to Justin Fields. You know, I think, both of those guys are very good friends. They, we saw what they did up in Indy at the five-star challenge together. And I know they'd like to play together. So we'll see here maybe in the next month whether that's going to be the case or not.
Does Jackson remind you of anyone specific, any receivers that come to mind?
He reminds me a little of Malcolm Mitchell in a little bit. He's going to play slot for Georgia. He's kind of got that thicker body, a little bigger body, which Malcolm was, during the latter 2 years of his Bulldog career. Very good hand. Maybe not be the fastest guy, but the guy knows how to get open. He's got got great hands, and he's got can be used on special team returning punts and kickoffs as well. So he's a very important. He's a Rivals 200 player, and Georgia was very happy to have him.
Yeah, I noticed in the Rivals rankings, Georgia's now moved up to number 27. So I know maybe earlier in the summer you probably got asked, what's wrong with Georgia's recruiting?
But I thought about it face too. Just wait.
Yeah, I mean.
And just wait. And I'm still tell people today, are they going to be a top 10? They're going to be a top 5. Let's just wait. There's some mighty big names that are still out there that I think they've got a very good chance of getting commitments from. I think by all said and done, Georgia's going to be the top 5 class.
Yeah, and I mean, and you look at the numbers, too. It's like, okay, South Carolina's ahead of Georgia right now in the recruiting rankings. They have 19 commitments, and 14 of them, though, are three-star. And again, not that there's anything wrong with that as far as recruiting goes, and some of those guys will be very good players. But again, there's just a big difference in sometimes quality over quantity.
Well, you look at that, I guess, average number of stars, that kind of thing, and you'll see Georgia is already in the top 10 as far as that goes right now. So the more those 4-star, 5-star kids they're able to get, you're going to see them climb the rankings pretty quickly. And like I said, before it's all said and done, come signing day next February, you're going to see Georgia, I think, with top 5 class.
Talking with Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. How much of the – I guess this is hard to speculate on, but how much of the starting lineup, and I know Kirby had said you guys want to get caught up in the starting lineup, especially the offensive line, but I'm talking about the entire team. I mean, how many spots are there out there right now that are still, you would think, there's positions being fought over? I know they're fighting for every position, but at least as far as who we're going to see with that first 22.
Yeah, I think probably, you know, going back to the secondary, you know, I think maybe Rich LeCount's a safe spot, maybe something that's going to be looked at a little bit more. And there's maybe a couple of positions in the secondary that they really try to hone in on and focus to make sure they've got the right guys there. But, you know, otherwise, unless it's a player or two here or there, wide receiver, because they do have a number of guys I think who can play this year. They got a lot better depth than that out there, I think, in past season. Just got need to get guys to go out and prove themselves. But otherwise, I think they're relatively set. You know, defensively, I mean, they can move a couple of defensive linemen, maybe can go in and out. But your base of Jonathan Ledbetter and Trent Thompson are going to be there. It's just a matter of John Atkins or, you know, who I think is going to wind up being a nose or, you know, or Daquan or maybe somebody else. But I think for the most part, probably, if you're a big George fan, you can probably go down right now and probably check off the names who are going to be a starter for that person going to get that place to stud.
Speaking of position battles, and especially Appalachian State, let's just put a hypothetical out there real quick that let's say Georgia opens up, I don't know, a 20-25-point lead. Everything's going great. The fourth quarter rolls around. Can we now put to rest that Jake Fromm will be the backup, getting playing time? Maybe there's no, you know, hopes of redshirting. Do you see him as being the playing time second-string quarterback first week?
I do. I don't see it. First of all, I don't see Jake Fromm redshirting. I just don't, you know. I know that's been speculated, and you know, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but just my opinion, I don't think you'll see him redshirt because I think they'll find some way to get him, on the field. But, again, this is Jacob Eason's team, and I know some people want to still make it to be a quarterback battle, especially in light of what I'm talking about, you know, some work we got about him getting first-team reps. But I'm telling you, it's Jacob Eason's team until Jacob Eason screws it up. And when I say screw it up, I mean screw it up over a period of game. It's not going to be a situation where Jake Fromm is sitting there perched on a shoulder, and the first mistake Jacob made, Jake Fromm, then that's not going to happen. That's not going to be the case this year. But I do think he'll play. I do think Coach Martin and Coach Chain will find ways to get him in games this year. But this is Jacob Eason's team.
All right, Dash, I heard, I think our afternoon guys were asking this question to each other, and I'll throw it out to you. And this is for offense and for also defense, so I guess it's two different answers. Who is the one player on offense and the one player on defense that Georgia would hurt them the most to lose this year? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know you're talking about that, but that's just kind of a difficult question. I mean, I always...
that's why we throw it at you, man.
And the quarterback, I would say Jacob Eason, he's got Jake Fromm at behind him, so it might not be as bad as
exactly.
It would be in other years. You know, if you didn't have a guy that of that capability of coming in and running. And the same thing kind of at running back, Nick Chubb goes down, which offers God forbid that would ever happen. You got Sonny Michel to step in. So I say this, I think it's Isaiah Wynn,
yeah.
The left tackle. I really do. I mean, everybody wants to talk about how he's not the biggest guy and all this, that, and the other, but he's most experienced, most technically sound. And if they were to lose him, I think they'd be in a good bit of hurt if that were the case. So I'm going to go with Isaiah Wynn right now. The guy Georgia can't afford to miss on offense. As far as defense goes, I think Roquan Smith. I just think he's in for just a one just heck of a year for Georgia middle linebacker this year. I know they've got other guys behind him. I know Reggie Carter can come in and he obviously take his place. But I just think Roquan is just that talented and can do so many things as a ball player. And he would be one I would just hate. If I'm Georgia, I would hate to know I had to miss for a few games.
Good answer, and you know what? Your answer was actually the same as mine, and I get the feeling from kind of the way Kirby was talking a little bit about Isaiah Wynn that, yeah, they got to move some guys around and try some stuff, but they would much prefer just to have him out there and not have to and worry about the other situation.
I think years going forward, they'll have that 6'5", 6'6" guy with long arms. Everybody wants to have a left tackle right now. There's no doubt that I think Isaiah, is the most most fundamentally sound lineman they have right now. If you want your best lineman to protect the quarterback's blind side, if he's a right-handed quarterback, and that is Isaiah Wynn, and I think he'll do a good job. He did last year.
Dash, always great to talk to you. Wait, Logan's got one more
question. Dash, no, by the way, Dash, I'm going to put an envelope at our reception desk with your name on it. It's got Eclipse glasses in them. Now, whether you come get them or not, that's up to you, but if you want, the option's there. So you come.
I appreciate that. That is way on the other side of town from me. I live on the east side over here near Winterville, so I have to get really extra motivated
If that motivation strikes, they're here waiting on you, okay?
Okay, I appreciate that. I'll keep that in mind.
No one's holding their breath on that one, though. I hear you. Dash, always great talking to you. We'll catch you again next week.
Dad.
Thanks, man.
Thanks,
Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com.